Yo, welcome to the Meeting 3 Leadership Podcast. If it's your first time to the table, welcome, welcome. Glad that you decided to join us. Pull up a seat, make yourself at home, get real comfortable, and I hope you brought your appetite because you already know how it's going to be. You know we eat good around here. You can't even lie and deny this by this point. Episode 13. We are jumping into it. I have an interesting episode here. I actually want to set it up like this. So I interviewed one of my mentors 3 years ago. And the guy, really dropped a whole lot of leadership nuggets, and it was actually a video interview. So if you're wondering why the audio will sound different in this episode than in previous episodes, it's because we were not mic'd up, but it was a video interview, so all the audio captured was captured through my DSLR, my Canon T3i. But the interview was so full of wisdom and truth, and I originally did the interview again 3 years ago with the intention of just breaking it up and just taking bits and pieces from it, but I think the entire conversation as a whole would actually serve as a really good podcast episode. So I just wanted to bring it to you unedited and, just to your fullest extent. So 3 years ago, I got a chance to sit down with Jack Easterby. One can only hope that at some point, now that I have this podcast, that I could actually sit down with him 3 years later, 4 years later, however long it ends up being, before we actually meet, and just be able to catch up, because I know a lot has happened in both of our lives since then. But I am super excited for you to hear what he has to share. Excited once again that you're tuned in, listening, and hopefully you get something out of this. But without much further ado, here's my interview with Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk and, share your story and your wisdom. You had a big part in my growth and some of my next steps. But if you had to introduce yourself to somebody who's never met you, how would you introduce yourself?
Well, first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't start by saying how much it means to me that you would ask me. I think that our relationship means a lot to me, too, and just being able to talk over the years through different things and be able to come up randomly and see you at Clemson and jump in the Word some, and then also through FCA and the different things God's done in your life and watch you from a distance, be able to be an ambassador for Jesus has always encouraged me. And watching you play at Clemson was awesome because I knew you were doing it for higher purposes and you were laying some kingdom bricks while you were there. As hard as that is for me to admit, being a Gamecock, I know that the Lord really used you, man. And so I'm thankful that you would involve me in something like this and that I would be a part of your life. It's a privilege. I'm just some dirt God's been good to, man. Jack Easterby, Columbia, South Carolina. Grew up here. Didn't know the Lord until college, and God called me into an intimate relationship with Himself through a teammate in college, and really the rest is kind of history. He began to show me how to follow Him, how important His Word is, how important His church is, and through those things, I've just bounced around doing different things to honor Him, and probably messed up more than I've done right, but I've learned along the way just how good of a God He is. So I got a great wife, two beautiful girls that I hope end up just like their mom. And we've been blessed, like I said, to be a part of tons of different ministries all over the country, and as a servant, as a door holder for what God's doing in many ways.
Awesome. Cool. If you had to describe your leadership style, a lot of people are affected based on, the people that poured into them, and we'll get to that in a second. But how would you describe your leadership?
Well, that's a good point, because mm-hmm. a lot of people are affected how they lead by what mm-hmm. they've seen work, mm-hmm. you know, by the people who have impacted them.
Right.
And I think that's probably true of me too. Coaches mm-hmm. and my parents mm-hmm. Have had a huge role in that. I like to say servant leadership, mm-hmm. You know, as a hypothetical idea,
yeah.
what I would like to kind of aim for, mm-hmm. To listen, to love, to be passionate on mm-hmm. certain things,
yeah.
but also to listen and to hear on other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the more experiences I've gained, mm-hmm. some of the leadership has evolved. You know,
yeah.
when you learn certain things or you're given certain experiences, you're more adamant.
Yeah.
Than you were maybe early, whereas you may just say, hey, let's go to Chick-fil-A, let me buy you lunch.
Right.
There may be a form of leadership, versus now, the more God's showing me, I may say, hey, let's mm-hmm. let's do something different.
Yeah.
So I think it's evolved. I don't know if there's one you mm-hmm. know, characteristic, mm-hmm. but I do think Jesus' model for us of servant
right.
leadership is
yeah.
something that I hope to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you demand people follow you, many times you're just taking a walk. Nobody's behind you.
Yeah.
But when you ask people and you engage them and you love them, mm-hmm. hopefully that shows them that you're in more for them
yeah.
than you are for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely what my goal is. I don't know mm-hmm. if I would say that's what it's been. Hopefully
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
that's what we'll see.
If you had to, like, looking back along, you know, as you've taken on roles, whether it's been in athletics, you know, as a father, as a husband, mm-hmm. In different roles of leadership, what's probably the one thing you wish you knew when you started to lead that you've come to know, you know, recently in, you know, after years of experience?
That's a great question. It's actually interesting you asked at the time of this, because God's really shown me over the last week or two that mm-hmm. that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we all set out to be the expert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do.
Yeah.
We really, whether it's fatherhood or being a husband or mm-hmm. being a chaplain or speaking publicly, we set out to mm-hmm. have it figured out.
Yeah.
And I'm really positive now, after having some success, mm-hmm. that's not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is not to have it figured out, but the goal is really perfect submission mm-hmm. to Christ in
yeah.
every area. Now, we're sinful, so that's a wrestling match
right.
with our own flesh. But
yeah.
I think for me, if I knew that it wasn't, the goal wasn't to figure it out or to mm-hmm. have it,
yeah.
As if it was a club in your bag or a feather in your hat mm-hmm. that you could say, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that would probably be a little bit freeing, because I think so many people, especially as they start professional journeys,
mm-hmm.
The goal is that I want blank, or if I get blank, or if I have blank, or if I know blank,
mm-hmm.
then I will be able to be seen or perceived as a success.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a lie. We serve a very process-oriented God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sanctification is a long process.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't think that for me, early on, wanting to be it or have
mm-hmm.
it
mm-hmm.
Was probably a little bit of a lie I believed in a
mm-hmm.
little bit too much. And so if I was looking back on it, I would mm-hmm. advise people not to try to have it, but look
yeah.
for the fingerprints of God.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Blackaby talks about when you see God working, go join him.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. think that would be my mantra more yeah. though than try to figure mm-hmm. it out, because
yeah.
you just can't do that.
That's really good. And I know in my life that's something that I'm still learning, so really appreciate you sharing that.
Mm.
You've had the opportunity to speak into a lot of people's lives,
mm.
you know, people with influence, you know, people with various gifts. Talk about kind of that process of, you know, calling out the gifts in somebody else,
mm.
whether they realize the gifts or maybe they don't realize it, aren't really sure how to pursue it. You know, how obviously that has to be done with a certain gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about kind of how you go about doing that.
Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. These are great questions. I early in my career, one of the things I really thought about, like right out of school, was, you know, speaking. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
Anytime you're speaking publicly, there's a certain impact that you perceive. Obviously, you've got an audience,
mm-hmm.
you've got a message, you've
mm-hmm.
got a platform, and these things aesthetically feel a little bit more productive.
Yeah.
They feel like
mm-hmm.
you're doing something. You
right.
know, like I'm laying a brick today because I spoke to 500 people.
Mm-hmm.
And God, man, really about 5 years ago, really convicted me, maybe a little more than 5 years, but really convicted me on the process and the challenge of Jesus to make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean to make a disciple? And we're not really the ones making the disciple. We're just leading these people to become disciples.
Right.
And so this charge Jesus gives really becomes a life on life, very individualized mm-hmm. situation.
Right.
And so I've really changed my goals from speaking and doing public things only to more of a private one-on-one ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes and coaches around the country who I know that people don't even know I know because it's a mm-hmm. discipleship thing.
Right.
Like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what God has really challenged me with on that is to have an individualized assessment,
mm-hmm.
Just like I think Jesus did when he grabbed Matthew and Peter,
mm-hmm.
and when he grabbed these guys, and then mm-hmm. when he saved Paul.
Yep.
He had this individualized assessment of mm-hmm. what they could bring for the kingdom, and again, a kingdom brick that they could lay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what I pray for before I meet with somebody, is God, show me the kingdom brick that this person is supposed to lay, or the fingerprints of God on his life, so that we can start getting some forensics and dust mm-hmm. out and see
yeah.
those fingerprints
mm-hmm.
and then exalt those things that God's already doing versus
yeah.
having six steps or five steps or three
mm-hmm.
steps or doing or even asking you to come hear me speak. I don't think we have any one thing figured out that well. I think it's about really having that individualized attention
mm-hmm.
To that person and getting to know them a little bit and hearing their weaknesses and their strengths
mm-hmm.
And then getting to a better place with what you can advise them on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think your point was great, that we are called as leaders to speak in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's not optional.
Right.
It's really a call from mm-hmm. God.
Yeah. But the way of going about that, I feel like some people do it a little bit better than others.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously
mm-hmm.
it kind of goes back to what we said earlier of people approach leadership a lot of times based on the way they were led.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, so it's one thing to, speak into someone's life and say, you have these gifts. Sometimes it's easy to just focus on the good parts of it, but how do you kind of, I guess the best way is to kind of warn people of the cautions, that come with it.
Yeah.
For instance, if you have somebody who has the ability to be an NFL quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Know what I'm saying? And they see all of the money and all the endorsements and all the influence that could come with that, but they don't see all of the temptation
right.
and the
right.
pitfalls
right.
that come along
right.
with that as well. How do you kind of speak to that, those, instead of just it focusing on the good, because you kind of have to mm-hmm. alert them of both if you're going to speak into someone's
That's
life.
That's great, and I see where you're going. I think one of the things, so out of the gate, you want
mm-hmm.
them to share their passion.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone is sharing their passion, whether it's music or
mm-hmm.
it's leadership or ministry, they're now investing in you
mm-hmm.
their passion. And that's a privilege.
Yes.
That's a privilege. When somebody says, hey, let me share my heart with you,
mm-hmm.
that's a privilege. That doesn't have to happen. I'm not entitled to that as
right.
a leader. And so when someone does that, now you've earned the right because they've shared,
mm-hmm.
which is backwards of what you would think. You would think it would be you sharing.
Yeah.
But the more they share, the more you earn the right to be able to caution them on those other things.
Right.
Now, to your point, I think we are naturally, in our own way, blinded by things, outcomes that we desire,
mm-hmm.
whether that's making money or
yeah.
that's being a leader or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We should see this desired outcome, and
mm-hmm.
we say, if I could get there, or that's where I want to be,
mm-hmm.
then boom. And my number one goal to speak into someone's life is to take their mind and heart off of that desired outcome initially
mm-hmm.
and just evaluate the process that gets them there. And
yeah.
that includes
yeah.
what you're saying, temptations, pitfalls,
mm-hmm.
things that may be told to you that aren't real
right.
that you believed in, or
mm-hmm.
things that maybe someone's phrased a certain way
mm-hmm.
to eliminate the reality of what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say initially my goal is to take their mind off of that, even though that is the perceived goal,
mm-hmm.
and it may be a great goal. Is to take their mind off of that and to get into some tangible realities
mm-hmm.
because those tangible realities are going to make you work at it. They're going to make
mm-hmm.
you trust God.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make you read.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make you, evaluate currently where you are in relationship to your progress.
Yeah.
And they'll probably flesh out some of these things that somebody may have told you that aren't 100% true. I always say
mm-hmm.
a half, half truth is a whole lie.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
a lot of times
yeah,
we get
yeah.
this philosophy that we bought into because it takes us to our goal. And so I think that, you know, really evaluating that individually, you know, each time helps. So to your questions, great. I think I listen to the goal.
Yeah.
And then the desired outcome. And then I say, okay, let's talk about the process. Because the more we talk about the goal, we leave out the details.
Right.
So when I'm speaking into somebody's life, I'm going to get as quickly off of that as possible. Because you and I both met with people who just talk about the goal, right? And the goal. And the finish line of a race is something that is out there. But at the outset, the goal is to put on your shoes and that's put on your socks and tie your shoes and take the first step.
Right.
And so I think that that honors God, because I think then they actually have to roll their sleeves up and and kind of manage through it. And then they see me as the person who's pointed that out, which gives me more leadership in their life because I've shown them a pitfall or two. Or God has helped me show them. And so that, but that's a great point, because really taking their mind off of that, you know, fairyland and going back down to some real brass tacks, I think helps everybody. And some processes are quicker than others. A guy like yourself who's seen a lot, traveled a lot, been, you know, matured quickly, we can get right to it. Well, how's that going to look financially? Or how's that going to be for your family? What's the cost, right? When Jesus declares for us that we should count the cost, you know, I think that's a great, great idea. It's great scripture. So I think it's relative in relationship to the speed, but I think getting to it is the goal.
You alluded to it earlier, but who are some of the people that invested in you when you were starting to pursue your passions and pursue what God's calling was for your life?
Well, obviously, I think life is made to be lived inside out, not outside in. So I think that whenever you have great parents, you know, as you do, I think it helps. I think it helps. And my parents were great from day one. Went to church growing up, invested in me, cared about me, poured into me, the truths of the gospel, and also parented in a way that honored God. So that was huge. Didn't realize it always at the time, right? You feel like you're... I always say the grass on the other side of the fence isn't always greener. Sometimes it's astroturf, you know. So you get over there and, and you know, you think your parents are stiff and old and don't want anything to do with it, but they were great. I got to college and there was a basketball coach who coached us. I had several coaches throughout my career, but there was a coach named David Conrady who really invested in me. He created a role for me on the team that was not only basketball, but it was spiritual. And that showed me the value of spiritual things. So once I became a believer, I was kind of like, well, how do I tell everybody about this? And he kind of created this position, hey, before the game, you're going to pray. Before the game, you're going to meet with everybody and share the gospel. You know, and so these, I began to attach athletics and spiritual things as being a good matchup. When I got out of college, mostly a guy named Dave Odom, who was the basketball coach at South Carolina here, I worked with him for about 6 years, and really a fatherly figure to me. We ran in the mornings, and anywhere from how to dress to how to treat my wife to what to say and how to not say things that you want to say, how to financially structure your family, how to save money, what to invest in. How to do a home mortgage. I mean, these are things we talked about that he just said, hey, Jack, this is what you should do. And so those three come to mind, parents and Coach Conrady and Coach Odom. Most recently, Scott Pioli has been a huge influence in my life. Just being together in the NFL, we've gone through a lot of similar things. And so he's been able to give me tons of wisdom and facts and kind of the same things we were talking about earlier where he you know, detaches me from my my goal and just puts me in a good process and then puts the goal back in place.
That's cool. That's awesome. For, I guess, the remainder of the time, if you had to, and it's interesting because a lot of my questions you kind of answered within other questions, so that was really good. And it's, you know, again, it's really been good to just kind of pick your brain on a lot of this. You know, as many people as, not just that you've impacted, but I know that have been an influence on you and have been able to kind of invest the wisdom into you and, you know, for you to do the same and then to everybody else who will watch this. Talk about, I guess, that, like, what are some intangibles that it does take to kind of get over that hump? Because I think it's safe to say that everybody has potential, but not everybody capitalized on that potential. You know what I'm saying? And so what are some, I guess, intangibles as a leader speaking into someone's gifts, and then as the person pursuing, you know, that process, as we talked about?
Well, let's talk about the person first, because I think that would lead to the leader. You know, this is going to, you're not going to expect me maybe to say this, but I would say, you know, if you know the Lord, okay, if you're walking with the Lord, and if your time with the Lord is sweet, and if you have a biblical worldview, which is a phrase people use, I think probably too much, but if that's where you are, you know, I think the thing that I would say, being where I am now, looking back at just 10 years, is the number one thing, in addition to that biblical worldview, is a relentless pursuit of excellence. And I mean that from what time you get up in the morning, to what you're reading, to going and meeting with people you're uncomfortable with meeting with, to putting your head in the ceiling and trying to, you know, meet with CEO or meet with a pastor or meet with someone who's not where you are. Having friends that are older than you and stretching yourself and working at it is really, it's in the DNA of growth. It just is. You cannot take away growth or raising, like you said, exceeding your potential, which I try not to use that word too much because I always say, man, when I tell you have potential, it means you haven't realized it. You know, but the idea is right, and what you're saying is right, is that I think that the fabric of getting after it is something that I just think you can't remove from the overall quilt of success. And I think that a lot of times we love the Lord. We may have good intentions. But the people that I advise, a lot of times there's a gap between the people that are getting it done and the people that just are love the Lord and are just settling. And so I think we have friends that have multiple jobs, that have, you know, that are doing moonlighting at a church or moonlighting in their gift set because they want to first see how this can unfold. And I think I would advise someone to take an honest assessment of their work ethic, in addition to their biblical worldview, in addition and reflection of what God has done and who Jesus was and how hard that work was, and then look at what they're doing to try to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. And I have two analogies that I always give people. Is number one, most people spend their life looking out of windows into where they want to be or into other people's lives to criticize or to evaluate. God made us, like he says in James, to look in a mirror. To look in a mirror. Now, we may see in the mirror dimly now because our eyes are not totally clear what God wants, but the mirror reflects who you are and where you are, not where other people are in relationship to where you are.
That's good.
So if comparison is the thief of all joy,
right,
we know that the grass is not always greener on the other side, then we have to self-evaluate four, five, six times as much as we, you know, evaluate others and evaluate circumstances. So I think that if we really say, I have a biblical worldview, I love Jesus, I study my word, my question then next is, how hard are you really working at it? You know, what time do you get up in the morning? Who are you meeting with that is somewhere you're not? How hard are you knocking on doors? How hard are you pursuing those things? As a next point, you know, I just think in addition to having that. And then the other thing I would say to the leader, in addition to how hard are you working at it, is, you know, is there something, in addition to you working at it with all you have, is there something you are doing to measure your progress along the way? Because I think we are a pass-fail society, right? So if I sell a record and I sell a million copies, I'm a pass. If I sell 999,000, I'm a fail. And so now it's like, wait a minute, if I sell a million records, I'm a pass, but if I sell one less, I'm not. You know, God's not that small, and neither is our goals, and neither should be our objectives. So we're process-oriented people, and that's why God has given us justification, sanctification, or salvation, sanctification, glorification, because these are all processes that he's using us for his glory. So I would just say, how hard are you working at it, and do you have benchmarks that you're trying to obtain, first base, second base, third base, home base, to know what a win is? Because if you're not really working at it, and you don't really know where you are in relationship to where you're, you know, trying to get, then you're not really moving anywhere. And I think that's a fair assessment
to
someone who's a young leader. Now, to the leaders, I would say something very similar is, number one, how hard are you on yourself?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to criticize someone who comes to meet with you. Well, you don't, or mm-hmm. you didn't, or you could have, or you should have.
Right.
And that makes me feel like I'm a better leader.
Mm-hmm.
But it really ends up hammering the nail into the board rather than bringing the nail up, bringing the person up to build mm-hmm. them up. So I think that whether it's for me reading commentaries, I'm reading right now John Calvin's Institute of the Christian Religion, which is mm-hmm. an ancient old book, but mm-hmm. it just attacks my pride.
Yeah,
it just attacks my. It's a mm-hmm. non-step attack on you. Think, boy, you think you did this? You mm-hmm. know, kind of
yeah.
thing. And I think that as a leader, you need that always to have yourself in check before mm-hmm. you invest. And then I've learned this in the last couple of years. I guess if I'm giving 2 points on each, is just mm-hmm. to really develop your listening mm-hmm. skills. What is someone saying? What are they not saying?
Right.
What do they mean? What are their fears? What are they showing you? What are their body languages?
Mm-hmm.
And all these things will dictate to you how you can advise them. It's mm-hmm. not always just what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are listening but don't hear, mm-hmm. and they may be hearing but they're not listening.
Yeah.
And I think you just combine them both in order, because if you're working at it, you've been gifted to lead,
mm-hmm.
you have a biblical worldview, you love Jesus, and you do a good job of getting the information from the person, mm-hmm. from the body language or whatever, then God will give you what to do and what to say and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But those are kind of the cornerstones, I think, to help you do that.
I really do appreciate it, you know, all the nuggets and wisdom. You know, I think, and I'm pretty sure I alluded to this at the beginning, but one of the reasons why I wanted to do this interview is because, you know, a lot of times I talk about people who invested in me, my parents, mm-hmm. you know, past coaches, mentors such as yourself, and I will a lot of times quote things that you say and that my parents have taught me, but it's like, you know, I know people invested in you
mm-hmm.
and kind of getting to the deeper layers and realizing that, you know, I am just a small part. I may be a part in helping someone else's influence, but I was influenced by these people who were influenced by these
mm-hmm.
people, and then,
right.
you know, just everything just becomes bigger, and you see you're part of something much bigger,
mm-hmm.
and you realize that, you know, almost down to the smallest detail, you know, of a meal at Chick-fil-A,
mm-hmm.
when you call out a gift in me
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, I really could see you doing music, you know, it's the reason mm-hmm. why I'm doing this album, which is kind of where this behind the scenes is going,
mm-hmm.
Kind of seeing that, you know, every single decision we make does have an eternal effect
mm.
and impact. So, but I really do appreciate you taking the time. So,
well, I appreciate you, man. We definitely do have. I always say this; it's really interesting. Eternity is not at stake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because God is sovereign.
That's true.
So it's not a coin flip,
right?
But the progress on Earth,
mm-hmm. yeah,
the wall moving forward,
mm-hmm.
like in the movie 300,
yeah.
or the progress being at stake for the God's glory
mm-hmm.
Is, to me, something we should get amped about.
Yeah.
And I'm actually doing a study, and we can kind of close with this, is, you know, if you look at the attributes of God,
mm-hmm.
okay, and this is what you are doing such a great job
mm-hmm.
of in your life, okay, we can't make God more sovereign. We can't
right.
make Him more knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make Him more wise. We can't make Him more omnipresent. We
right.
can't make Him more omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
We can't add to those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can add to God's glory.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And so
yeah.
we are the reflection, or we are the ripples of
mm-hmm.
His glory.
Yeah.
And so even though we may not be able to make Him wiser, or, you know,
yeah.
I love it when people say make God more famous. I always say, well, can you make Him more famous because He's already famous, or can
mm-hmm.
we join in His fame, or can
yeah.
we, you know, we can try, but the idea is here, and I do think He made us to bring Himself more glory proportionally than He had before.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, He wouldn't have, you know, needed
yeah,
us in the beginning.
Right.
And then the last component of what I've been studying is, in that glory,
mm-hmm.
He is a Trinitarian God, right? So
mm-hmm.
He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We learn in John 17 and 14 in these chapters
mm-hmm.
where the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, better if I leave so that the Holy Spirit's come.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that showed that His glory is somehow in the fingerprint of relationships. Because even him in his own self has relationship with himself.
Yeah.
So it's weird, but it's at the same time awesome that God's using you the way he's using you, because to me those two things are directly together. His glory is at stake, and the relationships are going to be the trampoline in which he's going to ask us to jump high on. We can jump without it, but jumping higher to see over the trees is going to be probably the result of jumping on the trampoline. So you're exactly right with what you said. People pour in. There's a domino effect. There's a web we can't see of influence. And I think that those two things, to me, for his glory and for these relationships, are probably in so many ways what he's trying to do here that we can kind of almost every now and then get a glimpse of.
Yeah. Awesome.
That'll wrap it up for this episode of the Meeting 3 Leadership Podcast. Big thanks to Jack Easterby and that interview. I really appreciated him just dropping a whole bunch of wisdom and knowledge. Hopefully you got something out of it. By all means, shoot me a note, send me a message through social media. Let me know, you know, how these episodes or who your favorite guest so far has been, and who I should still get on episodes in the future. Continuing to build this and very excited for what's to come. I've got a few interviews already lined up, so excited to see those begin to take shape. But in any event, this particular episode of the podcast is over. Until next time, take care. God bless.